Congratulations to all you anglers out there. Another summer of fishing is closing in quickly. I guess I should extend that to include both commercial and subsistence fishermen and women, because another season of fishing is almost at hand for those folks as well. But I tend to think of fishing in terms of sport fishing, because that's my background over the course of the entirety of my life. Over the past third of my life, I have largely come to view the summer months, and fishing, as a Passover portion of the year. It's something to do and put up with while waiting for the end of summer, fall, and the opening of the various hunting seasons. That doesn't mean I don't appreciate things we can do in the summer. I also appreciate that many of you like summer and the things it ushers in, such as fishing, as much as I like fall and winter. 2 weeks ago, I used this program to discuss getting tackle boxes cleaned up in preparation for actual fishing. With actual fishing much closer to reality today, let's examine a handful of other fishing-related topics. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. It seems to me one of the initial forays into fishing each season I hear from a lot of people around Dillingham, and maybe this is true for those of you in other communities on the bodies of water that you use for recreation, is when everybody really starts getting into the dollies up on the Ogulawak River. At least they say they get into the dollies. Or do they? Thanks to the rather insistent tutelage of former Togiak Refuge fish guru Mark Lisak, I now know that what everyone calls dollies are really Arctic char, which are related to dollies and bear a striking resemblance. However, calling them dollies doesn't make them so. Dollies are a very real and very common species, but what's being caught up on the Ogulawak are char, not dollies. Let's kick things off today by highlighting the differences between these two very common area species. Some of the similarities are as follows. Both species can be either anadromous or non-anadromous. That is, they may spend a part of their time at sea, or they may be full-time freshwater residents. Both have sides that have a silvery appearance, along with an olive dorsal side, during their fresh run phase. Both exhibit light-colored spots against a dark background, as opposed to trout and salmon, which have dark or black spots against a lighter background. Both char and dollies have bright, vibrant spawning colors, with sometimes ridiculously brilliant orange sides and white-edged bottom fins. There are differences, but some of those differences can seem subtle at a casual glance. Arctic char generally have a shorter head and snout than a dolly. Char have a deeper forked tail, while dollies are more square across the tail, similar to eastern brook trout, yet another closely related cousin to these two species. The spots on a dolly often appear to be more defined along the edges than they are on a char. Also, dollies are much thicker across the base of the tail, called the caudal peduncle area, than char. During the spawn, dolly varden tend to have quite a bit of black across the lower jaw and gill cover, whereas black is usually absent on a spawning char. Also related to the spawn, male dollies develop an extended lower jaw with a very pronounced hook called a kype that fits into a groove found in the upper jaw, something like what you see with spawning salmon. One other general difference that could sometimes help with the identification is with regards to location, at least in freshwater situations. Arctic char are more likely to be found in lakes, especially deep water lakes, such as Lake Alecnagik, and not as often in rivers. Those are the fish being caught where the Ogulawak empties into Alecnagik. When they are found in rivers, they are usually found in larger rivers and not far from connected lakes. Dollies are commonly found in rivers and streams and often far from lakes. We catch a fair amount of dollies on just about any refuge river when we take out the kids for our float camp, which was talked about last week. In the end, stream or lakeside identification will probably always be a little tricky for most of us, and I don't see a whole lot of area anglers rushing to send DNA samples to a lab to make a positive identification. Regardless, both fish are found in abundance, put up a good fight, and look mighty fine in a photo to capture the moment. And if the confusion over whether it's a char or dolly troubles you too much, well, you can always go fish for pike or grayling instead. Frankly, my guess is hearing this won't change anything for anyone, just as a lot of folks still talk about a moose's horns, despite the fact that there has never been a moose with horns, and despite my best efforts to always put forth the truth of the matter, moose have antlers. Speaking of pike, I realize most folks are getting geeked up about salmon coming back. For a lot of those people, with regards to sport fishing, they probably use other species like char as a tune-up for the waves of salmon that will soon be entering our rivers and streams. Those are certainly the glamour species. However, a few folks, like me, probably get charged up over being able to get out and fish for pike. I've never made any secret of the fact they're my favorite fish to fish for, and that's been pretty much true my entire adult life. I think maybe some of those who consider themselves serious anglers don't even care for them, because let's face it, there's nothing difficult or subtle about catching them, if they're there. Someone who fancies themselves talented, with a size 18 fly, and there is nothing wrong with that, by the way, isn't likely to get excited about a fish that can be caught by your average 5-year-old with a hot dog on a hook. It is precisely because of their lack of discretion, combined with their uber-aggressive nature, that I like them so much. They are fierce, they fight, they're fun, and they taste great. A piece of advice about a technique for pike fishing, if you've never tried it: put on a topwater buzz bait of the type lower 48 anglers use for bass fishing. The buzz bait is retrieved across the top of the water, creating a loud racket with its blade. When you're in waters that have a fair number of pike, a buzz bait can provide incredible angling excitement, as pike will literally leap out of the water in their attempts to get the lure. I've had days where I've caught almost unbelievable numbers of pike on buzz baits. If you haven't ever tried one, tie on an 18 to 24 inch steel leader, add a buzz bait to the end, and find out for yourself what I'm talking about. I should point out that while I have my favorite angling tactics, like buzz baits for pike, I am open to trying new things. For example, have you ever heard of tenkara? I've heard of it and maybe known a little bit about it for a number of years, but never in any way, shape, or form tried it or even looked into trying it. Well, I'm giving thought to buying some of the basic gear, and it's a pretty basic pursuit to start with, and giving it a go in some places this summer. From what I do know about it, and if there are any dyed-in-the-wool tenkara folks listening and I'm butchering this in any way, please let me know, I'd describe it as something akin to what hunting with a longbow is to archery hunting. That is, purposefully using much more simplistic gear in the pursuit of the sport's execution. Tenkara is a type of fly fishing, I guess, but without a reel and without guides on the rod. It's a Japanese method of angling, which uses only a rod, line, and fly. It's primarily used over there for small mountain streams and smaller species of trout and salmon, though it's also used for panfish and bass. The rod is long, something along the lines of 12 to 15 feet is average, and extremely light. The rod often breaks down small, which makes it ideal for packing into remote areas. The line is about the length of the rod or a little less and uses a standard fly tippet material of a few feet with a fly at the end. I would say again I've never tried tenkara. I've watched several videos and it looks intriguing. I'm not sure I think it would be a viable method for some of our larger fish species, but I could see it being a lot of fun for dollies, grayling, and maybe rainbows on some of the smaller upper reaches of some rivers on the refuge. If you're looking for something a little different this summer, maybe look up tenkara online and give it a go. For some very specific waters I have pictured in my mind, it seems like an intriguing thing to want to try. And that's pretty much where I'm at with it right now. No discussion of summer and warmer temperatures and time on the water would be complete without a reminder of a couple of things. If a boat is involved, always have on a personal flotation device. Always, without exception. This is very much a zero exceptions kind of thing. Numbers continue to be something around 85% of those who drown in a boating related accident were not wearing a personal flotation device. Tied to that is, don't be boating and consuming alcohol. Again, there's just no good reason to do so. At all. The other thing I'd mention with fishing closer to being a reality: if you need one, make sure you have a valid 2018 sport fishing license. If you're a resident and 18 or older, you need a license, which costs $29. A king stamp is an additional $10. Exceptions to that are Alaska residents age 60 and older, and Alaska disabled veterans who maintain their residency may participate in sport fishing without a sport fishing license, but must apply for and possess an Alaska Department of Fish and Game identification card to do so. Again, the weather is rapidly changing, things are warmer, everything's starting to green up, and by golly, those waters out there, the fish are starting to bite. I know of a few folks who have been catching fish already. So for those of you for whom fishing is as good as it gets, again, congratulations. Your time is nigh. Get out there and enjoy it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.